Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
And now,
it's time for
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
Hey, welcome to Inside Conan.
Hi there. I'm Mike Sweeney.
I'm Jesse Gaskell.
And we're both writers on The Conan Show, and we are contractually obligated to talk about all things Conan.
We also love it.
Yeah, we love it.
We love every second of it, giving you that sweet backstage gossip.
Yep. And we have a great, great show today. We have a great guest. Andy Daly is going to be here
yes.
today. Yeah, we're very excited.
Everybody's
to talk
favorite.
To him. Everyone loves him.
It's annoying.
Well, and it's annoying how funny he is
I
all
know,
the time.
Because he deserves the love that he gets.
Yes.
He's earned it.
He earns it every day. Very funny guy. And we're excited to have
him.
Yeah.
And he has a long history with the show. So
he does.
We'll talk about his early days getting cast as just a young buck.
Before many of you were born. And this week, we're getting ready. We're going down
to
San Diego.
Yeah, we're going to
Comic-Con. For the fifth year in a row.
Yeah.
That's like
fifth time's a charm.
Four Spider-Man reboots. We've been down there for four of the five.
Yeah, we're the Tom Holland of Comic-Con visits. I mean, I've been really busy every day because we're doing every year we do these fake auditions
right.
where celebrities come in and audition for
a big movie.
Up. Yeah, mm-hmm. So we're doing Indiana Jones this year,
which is being rebooted.
Yeah, and we somehow magically every single guest this week said yes.
Oh, that's great.
I know, which
but
is
that's
great.
A lot of work.
It was a lot of work. So we had Kevin Bacon, which was
oh that's
exciting.
Awesome.
I know, and it's always I've noticed this because. This also happened with Jodie Foster.
Right.
Almost the bigger the star, yeah. the more easygoing they are.
That's
and they're just game for whatever. They're like, yeah, I didn't look at the script. I trust you guys.
Right, right. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's really
that's good.
I know. It's so he was really easy and just playful.
They just don't care about their careers anymore.
I guess not.
Ah, screw it.
Or they just trust themselves.
Yeah,
you know, no. I guess they're so self-assured that they know they're
right,
not going
to
do anything.
They're not worried
terrible.
About it. They've probably done something like that 8 million times for 8 million comedy shows over the year.
Right. But I did feel very, I was very self-conscious about like, because we're not supposed to laugh during it. And I really wanted Kevin Bacon to know that he was doing a good job.
Right, right. That's
and so, so I was making sure that every time we would cut, I would like give him a good laugh.
Uh-huh.
And then we later found out that it was his birthday that day too.
Oh.
So he did all that on his birthday.
That was very kind of him.
I know.
That's nice. Watch, you're going to, meanwhile, you cut him out of the bit.
Sorry, Kevers.
Wow, so every guest this week, that's almost, it's like you kind of almost start wishing.
That they had said no.
Please say no. We
got so many no's.
Oh, initially?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's a lot of great people
right,
in it.
Right, right, right.
But we also kept reaching out to people we thought would be good. And
right.
Then, we'd just get a lot of. They're out of town, which
right,
means they
right.
don't want to do it.
Oh, or they're out of town.
Or maybe they're out of town.
Or you're right, they don't want to do it.
But yeah, we'll be at Comic-Con next week, and you and I.
Yes.
I don't know if you know this.
No, tell me.
We're doing a live taping
of this podcast. That's crazy. Where are we doing it?
At the Team Coco house.
Oh.
It's at the Tin Roof.
We're taking over the Tin Roof.
Yeah.
For the week, I guess, right? Are there different?
It's a hot Tin Roof.
There's going to be tons of stand-up comedy there all week. The writers of Conan are going to be appearing there.
They don't
several of the writers are stand-up comics, and they're incredibly
rather
funny.
Successful ones.
Lori
yes.
Kilmartin, Brian Kiley,
Andre Dubuchet, Levi McDougall,
Dan Cronin, yeah. really, really funny. Todd Levin.
Yeah.
Oh, Jose Arroyo now is
I guess he's doing,
killing,
yeah,
doing stand-up.
He's killing.
So, yes,
they're
very talented
performing.
Writing staff.
However, all of these shows are already sold out.
They're all sold out.
So you're going to have to scalp tickets if you want to go.
Yeah. Or just reach out to us. We'll sneak you in.
Yeah, we might be able to sneak you in, actually. that's happening next week. Mm-hmm. And then we are also, it turns out, going to Montreal Just for Laughs Festival.
The following week. We're doing a live podcast there on July 25th.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if you live in Montreal... bonjour.
And speak English.
Yes.
Drop by.
So we're going on the road.
Yeah. And I'm excited.
We have a two-stop tour.
That's right. And the Montreal one's going to be in the Doubletree Hotel.
Oh, wow.
We're staying there and doing the podcast there.
That's better than the Singletree.
Yeah. We're not going to see any of Montreal.
We won't.
An elevator. And then it's back to the plane.
Yeah. But I'm sure the Doubletree there is beautiful.
Oh, it's going to be wonderful.
And, you know, without further ado, let's get into Andy Daly.
Here he is. Right, well.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Right.
That feels good.
Feels great. Levels are good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No popping on the peas.
No.
I pop on the peas, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
Do you?
Know.
Yeah, I've been listening to some episodes. Oh, and I have a bunch of specific consonant notes for you guys.
I would love some.
From having spent some time in the podcast world.
Honestly, you probably could give us some useful feedback.
Yes.
No one's willing to give us any feedback. We ask for it all the time.
Yeah, neither am I.
Quit. Just stop. Stop it. Stop it.
Don't do this.
Really don't do it.
Yeah. No. It's great. I've been enjoying it.
Your latest character.
My latest character?
I love Inside Coding Podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
It's great. I love all the inside stories.
I recommend it to all my podcasts.
Oh, sure. The stories can't get too obscure for me.
That's what people like, right? People enjoy a show that's about the pathology of a late night television show.
Yep. Once you get into naming the prop guy, I'm all there for it.
You mean Bill Tull?
Yeah, that's the guy.
See, that name resonates.
It does. That's true.
Andy Daly.
Yes. Are we doing this? Have we begun it?
Yeah.
We always do a false start.
We ease into it. Oh, we do.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Smart.
We hope that you're going to say something controversial when you think we're not rolling.
Exactly. I intend to say controversial things when I think you are rolling.
Welcome to
Thank you. I'm so excited welcome. To be here.
Yes, we're very happy to have you here.
You're one of I think across the board, everyone loves you here.
Oh.
You're beloved.
That's nice. You are beloved.
Oh,
but I also feel you get a lot of love all the time. So
yeah.
Maybe we should.
You think I might be tired of it?
You know, how much love can one guy take?
There seems to be no limit to the amount that I require.
Okay.
So worry about it.
Oh, well, then if it's like oxygen for you, we won't hold back.
Very much so.
Of course you're beloved.
So this is just a drop in the bucket.
Yes. Yeah, this is barely scratching the surface. I'm going to have to go on Reddit later and really.
And we're excited to have you here because you have a long relationship.
Yeah,
I certainly
with
do.
With the Conan.
Yes.
Ovra.
With the Ovra.
Really?
Yes. I was thinking about how it began for me, my Conan journey.
Yeah.
And I believe it went like this. I had an audition for the Dana Carvey show. Hmm. So that would have been 96, I think.
Yes.
95, 96. And I got a
callback.
Was it
to play Dana Carvey?
Yes. I got a callback. I was just put on tape and I got a callback. And the callback was so confusing. It was me sitting at a round table with Robert Smigel and Dana Carvey and Louis C.K. and Dino Stamatopoulos. Mm-hmm. Just all of us sitting at a table and them kind of being like, just casually like, so what would you do on a sketch show if you were on a sketch show? And I was just not prepared at all for that. Like, I think I would have been prepared for a standard audition.
Yeah,
but
that's
for this,
too broad.
It was confusing to me as a 25-year-old. And I was just like, I don't know.
Or even a 40-year-old.
Yes,
perhaps even more confusing.
Yeah. And I left feeling like I wasn't prepared for that conversation, let alone to be on a television show with these people.
Did you think it was like a candid camera show, like a punk show or something? Like, what is this?
I thought it was a sincere attempt to kind of break out of the mold of auditioning and like let's get to know you and talk collaboratively about this show would make together.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just wasn't in that mindset. I think if I had come through The Groundlings or Second City and it was just somebody who was always steeped in what I would like to do in sketch, maybe I'd be prepared for that conversation.
Well, it sounds like what they wanted was for you to also be a writer.
Yeah,
like maybe they could get some free content out of you as a performer.
That's what it sounds like.
Right. But they did not hire me for that. But from what I understand, Robert Smigel called over to the casting director of Conan, late night with, and recommended me. And so, yeah, I started getting gigs.
I love learning that.
And
Robert Smigel really was a total mensch that way all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If someone is like, oh, we're filled up here somewhere, he would volunteer to recommend you to someone else and actually do it.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people I'll recommend you.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then their intentions are good, but they don't follow through or they forget.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great.
Yeah, that was so nice of him to do. He has been very nice over the he put me into some of those TV Funhouse
cartoons
and things.
Right.
Yeah, which is
So you made a better impression in that meeting.
I guess I did.
Yeah.
It's felt terrible.
Yeah.
But I guess I made a pretty good impression.
Did you know going in that that's what it was going to be roundtable or did you literally show
up
and they're like,
terrifying.
Please join us at this conference.
Exactly. And I was also shocked to see Dana Carvey. Like, they must have told me the producers of the show were going to be there. And I didn't make the leap that, of course, Dana Carvey is one of the producers of the Dana Carvey show. And so I was sitting right next to him at this table, and he's doing the Carson impression to my face. And I'm just like, what's happening?
I mean, he seems like a very sweet.
Of course.
Right.
But I just wasn't ready to be a star of any sort.
That's so intimidating.
I was young.
Were you at that time doing improv had UCB opened in New York?
I don't know. UCB was not here yet, I don't believe. Yeah,
right around then is when it landed.
Yeah, they came in early 96. So maybe, right around then.
Mm-hmm.
But I was doing – I moved into my parents' basement in New Jersey after graduating college and commuted into New York and then eventually moved into New York. So I was
in
New York.
That's going to be very inspiring for a lot of our listeners.
Oh, it is? Yeah.
Make the big move down two flights.
Yeah.
And start your career.
Yeah. My parents were very concerned about me living in their basement until – I did. And then when I said, I'm moving out, I was addressing their concern. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
They're like, well, where are you going? You're rent-free here. You know? they realized
that. We like the company.
Yeah, they like the company. But I said, no, I'm leaving. And then I was in New York doing sketch and improv before the UCB came to town, which was such an odd time. I think can't imagine that there was no long-form comedy improv. There was no UCB. It was all just kind of short
games.
Form type games.
There was a company called Chicago City Limits, I remember.
Yeah, and I was in their main stage company. We did six shows a week of games and short form stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it was technically an off-Broadway show, I think.
Did you get paid?
I did get paid.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Yeah.
I was paid $250 a week.
That covered commuting costs.
Yeah, that covered your rent with your parents.
Just about, yeah.
Do you come from a big family or?
No, I have two brothers.
Okay.
Yeah.
But your parents wanted to keep you around. They didn't. Yeah. They liked you more than your two brothers. We need you in that basement.
So one of them doesn't move in.
It's just always been funny to me. That when I said I wanted to be an actor in high school, they were like, well, if you think you're going to come back here and sleep in our house forever and all that, they give me the big lecture. And then when it finally came time for me to move, they're like, where are you going?
Yeah.
What do your parents do? Do they have anything to do with...
No, my mom's a nurse and they're retired now. My dad was a salesman of video teleconferencing equipment.
Oh, get out.
Yeah.
Did he have that salesman personality?
Very much so, yes. Yes, he did that from 1985.
Have you based some characters on that?
Not that I'm willing to say.
They're all your father.
All of them are, yes.
It's his dad talking about Bonanza.
That's about right.
No. Yeah. I'm always curious.
Mm. Yeah.
That's bold when you're still in high school to say, I want to be an actor.
Yeah.
I think.
Uh-huh.
I think a lot of... people might bury that till they're out of the house, maybe, and then pursue.
Oh.
But it sounds like they were supportive.
You were a true artist.
No, they were not supportive.
Okay.
I did a bit of a combo of that because I was a very bad student and I was very interested in extracurricular activities. And, Andy Blitz and I went to high school together.
I know.
And we did comedy together. Mm-hmm. We shot comedy pieces for our video production class at our high school.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah. And so that's that's what I wanted to do. But I, at some point, I and my parents were like, that's crazy. They thought it was nuts. And so I read an unauthorized biography of David Letterman at some point where it said that he went to college to study communications. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, I could do that. That is a way that I could get around the concept right. of four more years right. of education. Mm-hmm. So I told that to my parents and they were so excited. And I and they, I think, were envisioning me in an office with a primetime grid on the wall. You know what right, I mean? Right. Like, mm-hmm. I, like right. that I was going right. to have a legitimate job.
Executive, yeah.
Yes, but in this business.
And then your dad was like, son, it was an unauthorized biography. Let's step back.
I don't know why I felt the need to specify that it was unauthorized, but I just want you to know because I was kind of a renegade at that time. That's kind of what I'm trying to say. Like, I, you know.
So go ahead.
But so then I went to college with the intention of doing that, but I did not get into the communications department at Ithaca College. Uh-huh. And then my grades there
were too many other aspiring actors.
Yes.
Probably.
Exactly, yes. And then my grade, I thought I would transfer in, but my initial grades at college were bad and whatever. And so I had to pick another major, and I just said, well, I guess I'll do acting because I had taken an acting elective and they were very encouraging of me. And so I just auditioned for the acting program uh-huh. at Ithaca and was like, I mean, my parents require me to get a bachelor's degree and the communication school won't take me.
Yeah.
I think I'll leave here with a degree in theater. And then at that point, they were like, whatever it takes.
To get you into sales.
Yes.
Right. Son, I'm saving a spot for you.
Right.
Ithaca's, their big rival is Cornell, right? Aren't you gotten a, isn't there a gorge separating the two colleges?
Yeah, in right.
upstate New York?
Yes.
Mm. Or is
colleges,
that not true?
Well, those colleges are on two opposing hills yes. in the town of Ithaca, but it doesn't feel like a real hot rivalry. Because it's a gigantic Ivy League school, and we're just trying to drink as much beer as possible.
It's a one-way rivalry.
It's a one-way rivalry, yeah. We're trying to get invited to some of their frat parties. That's about the extent of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then you went to Manhattan after, or you moved back home.
Yeah.
And then you were commuting to this
to Chicago City Limits.
Improv.
Yeah.
Gig.
First I took their classes and then mm-hmm. I did some sketch shows. And then they hired me for their main stage company. And I did that. And then by then I think I'd moved into town and was working at the Equinox Fitness Club on 19th.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Yes, that's pretty fancy.
Worked at the front desk.
Towels there. Or training? Yeah. Or
I was have a good workout. And I was the person who received the complaints that the, quote, butt blaster was broken. That was my most frequent complaint. And I just said, I hope they never fix it. Because I love the anger with which people come up to this desk and say, the butt blaster is still broken.
Just saying the word butt blaster.
Yeah.
Out loud.
It almost makes me think someone kept breaking it on purpose.
Do you know if they have any plans to fix the butt blaster? I don't know.
But. I got a butt and need a blastin'.
Look at
this butt's not going to blast itself.
That was a great job just for that.
Yeah.
Lots of celebrities came into that. Oh,
I really? See.
Oh, Daniel Day-Lewis, Julia Roberts, God. RuPaul.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah,
Chuck
Austin
Scarborough.
Pendleton.
So you were, yeah, so that's like a perfect job for
yeah.
an aspiring actor.
Mm-hmm.
Just starting out in the big city.
Yes.
And then what was your first TV acting gig?
I think it was four lines on an episode of Spin City down there at the Chelsea.
Yeah.
Oh,
Chelsea Pierce.
Yes.
Yes.
Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox was on that show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then you had a reel.
Right, exactly. That plus my college student films. That was my reel.
They taped a lot of shows down at Chelsea Pierce, and I know they did Law and Order there, and they would have to stop shooting because they would share walls with like handball courts. And they literally
oh
be like,
God.
There's a basketball game, hold up.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was ill-planned. I don't know if you ran into that at Spin City.
I don't recall that,
mm-hmm.
no. No, one of my only stories from that week is that George Wendt was the guest star. He was actually mm-hmm. playing a Donald Trump-inspired character. And he said something like, on tape night, I don't go near the script. I don't look at the script. Mm. And he's like, take the script away from me. And then I was pacing and I was so scared about my four lines that he offered to run lines with me. And it felt like he was grabbing the script again. To help me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, was he secretly looking? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just like,
nice man.
What a fraud.
Well,
mm-hmm. But so then you ended up coming in for late night sketches.
Yes, I started doing sketches at late night.
What are some standouts that you remember?
Well, doing Andy's little sister sketches with Amy Poehler was amazing.
Did you already know Amy from
I met Amy. So when the UCB first came to town, I saw an early ASCAT. And then at the end of that ASCAT, Matt Walsh said, there's a sign-up sheet in the lobby. We're going to do a workshop. Mm-hmm. And I practically ran to put my name on it. And so that was the first class. It was a one-day workshop that the UCB ever taught in New York. And I was in that. So I became as steeped as I possibly could be, as fast as possible in their world. And I did. And then I took a class that was taught for 6 weeks by Walsh and 6 weeks by Amy Poehler. And it was probably around that time that we did those sketches together. So I did know her a little bit.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. She was your teacher.
I know.
Yeah.
And now you're in a sketch with her.
Right.
What'd you do in Andy's little sister? Did you play like her brother?
You know, I played her boyfriend that she brought to make Conan jealous.
That's
right.
That's funny.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to dig it up and put it online.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had Matt Walsh on recently and we mentioned some old sketches and put them online, and I think people are enjoying seeing them again.
Oh, so, great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then there was another one. Do you remember when Conan would bring somebody out of the audience and ask them questions about their life and then improvise a song about their life?
Yeah.
So I was in one of those that I think Stack wrote, and I was
Brian Stack,
and I was going into the seminary to become a priest.
That's right. I remember that one. That's perfect. Yeah.
And Conan's song was extremely irreverent. Uh-huh. As you might have, and apparently they got a lot of angry letters.
Oh.
Like from people really believing that I
you
was.
Were a real priest.
That I was.
You were so convincing.
I know.
Your
I took it as a bit
good.
Of a compliment. Yes.
That is a giant
I appreciated
compliment.
It. So and that they actually believed that the song was being improvised on the spot. Like it was all.
And you cost the show hundreds of thousands of viewers.
Yes, I did.
Religion, anything to do with Jesus, we'd get tons of angry letters all the time.
Something.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Very mobilized, the evangelicals.
They are ready. They are ready to jump in.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And letter writers. I appreciate that.
I know. It's an earlier time.
Earlier time.
You did that a number of times where you played an audience member that would come out.
There was one time. This is a sketch maybe you should put up because it. What was the premise? It was late night salmon grab. And so, and it was a bucket, a big steel bucket that we understood a salmon was swimming around in. And Conan wanted a volunteer from the audience to come up and participate in the late night salmon grab. And you cut to the audience and there's a grizzly bear in the audience raising his hand. He really wants to participate, but I'm also there and I'm raising my hand.
Sure.
And I think the gag was Conan tried to point at the grizzly bear, but I thought he was pointing at me, and so I ran down there. And the poor grizzly bear is so mad that he doesn't get to
do it. That's his game,
Yeah. And the way that the fish was rigged, there was an actual fish in a bucket, like an actual, like, dead fish.
That jumped out?
In a bucket that was rigged, it was stuck to two little metal pieces. So if you can imagine at the bottom of this bucket, I'm just doing it with my fingers, but the audience can't appreciate that.
Nah.
It's two, like, metal nail type things that the fish has then been stuck onto.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm supposed to put my head in the bucket and grab this raw fish between my teeth and pull it out in my mouth. And there was some concern at the rehearsal that, like, if I didn't position my head exactly right, I could poke my eye out on the little metal sticks that the fish was on.
That sounds accurate.
But also, don't open your eyes underwater.
Right. And I think I am particularly sensitive to having water in my eyes. I really don't like it. So what happened when we taped it is that I thrust my face into this bucket of water. I grabbed the fish between my teeth. Everything's fine. I pulled the fish out, but then I do the thing that I do when I get water in my eyes, which is my hands go immediately to my eyes to, like, squeegee. And there's a moment.
You're like a cat.
Yes. And there is a moment, I believe, where Conan thinks perhaps I have poked my eye out on the metal stick. And I've watched it many times, and I see that there's a moment where he goes from, oh, and then he stops.
He's
he gets
worried.
Quiet. Yeah.
There's a he's imagining the lawsuit.
Yes. I've seen it.
That's how we'd keep him interested in sketches. The threat of severe personal injury to a performer.
There was also a sketch one time. I have to get this. It's two. I have to get off my chest.
Yes,
this is
please.
One of them. That there was a time when Cecilia called me and said, they want to do a sketch where
Cecilia Pleva,
casting director. Yes. A sketch where Rob Riggle and somebody else are going to hold you over a toilet with your head in the toilet, uh-huh. and flush the toilet, a swirly, right? Is that what that's called?
They were always dunking your head in water.
There's another salmon in the toilet.
Yeah,
but she's like, we know Andy's the only person willing to put his head in
well,
the water.
Well, but she said they know they want to do it, but they don't know when they're going to do it because the prop guys have to find a toilet. And I thought, well, that sounds very easy for the prop guys to find a toilet. And so she called like a day or two later and said, okay, so it's on, it's happening today, come down. And I come down to do it, and the prop guys have not found a toilet. We're just going to the bathroom there on the floor where Len Burns and Chuck Scarborough go to have take a dump before Live at Five.
Oh, no.
And they did. Weirdly enough, I was not horrified at the time. I've looked back on it now and gone, oh, that was terrible.
I could have said
were a big Len Burman fan.
No, I guess so. But they made a big show of cleaning out the toilet, and they provided me with shampoo. And so, and
oh, my God.
And I did
How much of your head was submerged?
Like the whole, like above the ears?
Up to your eyes?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And years later, Andy Blitz, like many years later, Andy Blitz goes, hey, that toilet thing at Conan, I'm sorry.
Oh, was it?
Oh, that
I don't know if he was involved in it at all. I think he may have just been apologizing on behalf of the show.
He was mad at you about something from high school, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say. Would he write stuff for with you in mind or?
I don't know. You know, I don't know that I always know,
who
had written
yes,
things.
That's true.
Yeah.
And it sounds like back then, a lot of times, literally, you'd get a call the same day.
Yeah.
Like, can you be here in 20 minutes?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually the call time was 1 p.m.
Yes.
for a live bit or
right.
11
right,
for
right,
a pre-tape
right.
bit. Yeah. And it would be, yeah. It
yeah.
Would be
you were on the list of people who are available and have zero boundaries.
Uh-huh. Apparently.
I know. It's like, if he does the toilet thing, he'll do anything.
He'll put the raw fish between the metal spikes.
Wow.
Yeah. But you kept getting called back. So that's.
I did.
You were doing
yes.
Things
yeah.
right.
Oh, I was always thrilled to do it. Always super exciting. And and the other one, Lonely Chips, that was a very memorable one for me. That was a big deal for me.
That was a satellite TV channel.
Yes, Glazer did, wrote a satellite TV channel where I'm just a chips officer wandering lonely around the park.
That's really
that's all it was.
And there's sad music.
Yeah, all by myself, right. I think, was playing. That's all right, by myself, right. and just walking around. Being
well, you used to be able to just use music that...
Oh, is that right? Has that changed?
Oh, yeah. No, third
so
party music.
So now that you're putting them up online, do you have to take out some of those music?
Yeah, you do.
It's a bummer.
Mm-hmm. It is a bummer.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be replaced with a knockoff.
Generic.
Me with my lonesome.
Someone else is here.
Yeah.
Why are they playing elevator music while this guy walks around the park?
Now, should I tell the story of the controversial blackface sketch or not? I'll tell it, and we'll cut it.
Sure.
I think people would be angry if you didn't tell it.
If I didn't tell it. This is a crazy story.
It's worse
story.
Than the toilet story.
It's worse. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I really did. I had no boundaries. That's a very good point. I pretty much do whatever I was asked to do.
You had a lawsuit, and unfortunately, the statute of limitations.
Darn it. We waited to have you on until it expired.
This is so complicated. So
right.
It's 1999.
Okay.
The Screen Actors Guild has gone on strike over the commercial contract.
Right.
Remember that? So they've picked a fight with all of the advertising agencies and all of the advertising companies in the United States. Mm. All, you know, and it was weird because the story never got picked up on the news. And I remember us actors at the time feeling like, oh, the ad-driven news doesn't want to talk about the fact that we're on strike. But it may have been that they just thought it was a boring story, but I just wanted 3% more on basic cable wild spots. But we were mad about it. But one little story did bubble up, and it was the story of a car company that produced a commercial during the actor strike. And so they found an actor, an African-American actor, to cross the picket line and come out and say nice things about this car and then get into the car. And then in the spot, there was supposed to be some fancy driving. So they needed a stunt driver.
Oh, no.
But the stunt drivers had also walked out in sympathy with the actors. So they could not find an African-American stunt driver to cross the picket line. So they found a white stunt driver who would cross the picket line and put him in blackface to do this stunt driving.
And black hands.
And black hands. And that story did make it into some kind of press.
Right.
And John Glazer saw it, and he was so disgusted
this
by—
is a- this is a ripe area for us. Yeah. Yes.
He was so disgusted by the behavior of everybody involved, and he thought that there's a sketch here. And so the sketch was that I was going to come on the show as a union member of the Blackface Stunt Drivers Union. And my beef is that a non-union Blackface stunt driver had crossed the picket line to be in this commercial. So that's complicated.
Yes.
But for sure, it involved me coming down and being put in blackface makeup and then sitting there and just kind of explaining. And it was set up as a satellite interview with Conan. Uh-huh. I think maybe because Conan was like, I don't want to sit next to a guy. Right.
We can't be.
But you were still 12 feet away in the performance area.
Right, right. And I'm just sitting there explaining, yes, there is a union of blackface stunt drivers. Right. And I'm in, this guy crossed the picket line.
Right.
And so I get there. And I'm in the makeup chair, and it is an African-American woman applying this makeup to her.
Right.
And she's like, what is this sketch? And I explained it just like I explained it to you, which is rather convoluted.
Right, right.
And I'm getting a lot of just kind of, okay. And then I had to spend all this time sitting in the green room reading the paper in blackface makeup, which is awkward. And then we rehearsed the sketch, and I'm sitting there, and Glazer comes in all pissed off. He goes, they cut the sketch. I'm really mad. I'm pissed off. I'm sorry. And I don't care because I get paid for the day anyway.
That's true.
I kind of felt like I made
and
kind
you can
of
keep the
bullet.
Makeup.
Yes, yes. For the rest of the night.
Right.
So then the next day, I get a call from Cecilia Pleva, casting director, saying Glazer has fought really hard in the sketch is back in tonight.
Oh my God.
Yes. He put up a fight to put the sketch back in.
Oh my God.
So I was like, okay. And I come down, and now it's the same makeup artist, but now. She did it once, but she was not happy about doing it a second time. And I got a real talking to. And she was like, so you're just an actor. You'll do anything you're asked to do. And I was like, I don't know. Because I think we're on the right side of it,
right?
Aren't we on the right side of the debate? And then this time, sometimes the green room was full and you couldn't hang out there. And so I had to sit in a folding chair in the hallway. All of the traffic to and from Live at 5 and just sitting there in blackface makeup waiting to do the bit.
Oh, my God.
And that night, the musical guest was Busta Rhymes.
Oh,
and
my God.
Him and his whole entourage walked down the hall. And that was the moment where I kind of went, is this worth it?
Right.
Is the visual, maybe even being on the right side of this discussion
but
doesn't
quite justify. But it's a very
subtle
satire.
It's very subtle.
Yeah.
And then Glazer comes out and goes, they cut the bit again.
See you tomorrow for take 3.
But no, it never happened again. But that was, rough. It was scary.
Oh,
it felt bad. But it also did feel...
It was a good lesson, though.
It was a good lesson. I will never do that again, no matter what point we're making.
Well, it didn't air. That's
I know. I'm
that's probably when they cooked up the toilet idea. It's like, get the makeup off, and we're going to hold you upside down in a real toilet.
But, I always love doing staring contest bits. I remember.
Oh, yeah.
Those are great.
I got to do one where I'm Hamlet and I am holding the skull of Yurik, and then a tongue pops out of the skull of Yurik and I French kiss it for a while.
I remember that. Staring contest was a bit we did a lot of many times. It was Conan and Andy have an old fashioned staring contest, and Conan cheats.
Yeah.
After they're staring for a while. Conan's clearly hired people to come up behind him to distract Andy and make Andy break
and
blink.
Right, right. Yes, someone recently posted the final staring contest that was ever done, which was the Andy Richter's last show.
That's right.
And I had a memory of being in it, but I watched it and I'm not in it. And then at the end, there's a big, like, everybody who was in it gathers together and dances.
And you're there.
And
I'm there.
Oh, so
in
you
like,
got cut.
Yeah, with a saw in my hand and a bloody apron. So I'm left to just try to remember, what was I doing?
What kind of makeup did you have
on? Exactly.
I'm thinking I must have been a Civil War doctor.
Wow.
Some kind of
bit. We can dig
cut.
That up.
Oh, really? You can dig up a cut
even
bit?
I think we
oh
could dig
God.
Up the cut
that would
bit
be great. Oh, that
and
would
find
be...
out what you were.
I'd love to see
all
that.
Right.
That doctor deserves his day.
We could ask John right now to John Krator, our script guy, to see if he could dig it up.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm. That would be a while ago.
But is it worth it? Really?
Yeah. Who knows? Probably
second
not.
Second thought, maybe we won't.
Well, I do remember that staring contest because it was the last mm-hmm. one ever. It just became a repository for every remaining staring contest bit that was lying around in anybody's laptop. And anyway, right. There was a ton of bits.
Right.
Yeah. It went on and on and
oh,
on.
Oh, wow.
So I'm sure some had
it's
to
like
be cut.
Greatest hits. Right.
Maybe even some really great ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there could be other. I mean, who knows?
Yes.
Who else? Tom Hanks could be in one. That was
yes.
Tough.
That's right.
Yeah. It hurt his career.
I can't wait to see the director's cut of the final staring contest.
Well, my favorite old Andy Daly bit where I fell in love with you was something I think it is a testament to how funny you are, because if I try to explain it to someone, they're just like, what? And it was, you were pitching a new drink.
I remember.
This was literally during the summer of 2000.
Right.
And you came out to pitch a new drink called Iced Tea 2000. And Conan would just go, well, so what makes it Iced Tea 2000? And you'd describe it. And he'd go, well, that just sounds like regular iced tea. And you'd go, not regular iced tea, Conan. Iced Tea 2000. But again, I'm not doing it justice. And that was the whole thing.
That
and
was
you
it.
Just made it hilarious.
Yeah, I was playing a character named Summertime Steve.
Yes.
Yeah,
Summertime Steve. Wait, what about the return of Summertime Steve?
Come
back anytime. Let's do it. Oh, my God.
Iced Tea 2019.
That's evergreen.
Because that was it. I think I just made the choice to always say it exactly the same way every time it appeared in the script. So it was always Iced Tea 2000.
Yes.
That was regardless of what the rest of the sentence sounded like.
That was a lot better than when Sweeney did it.
I know. Why am I doing you in front of you? What a horrible mistake.
I enjoyed your impression.
Yeah.
I remember that. I think maybe it was Mike Gordon that wrote that.
I can't remember.
Because I do remember him saying, like, well, I thought for sure that bit was going to get cut. Yeah. There was nothing to it.
But
I know. You're really enabling lazy writing.
It's true.
Yeah.
Oh, that's totally the case.
Yeah.
Like, there'd be stuff where, like, we'll get Andy Daly in and he'll make
just,
it work.
He'll do it. Yeah. He'll fix it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good. If I allowed one writer to go home a little earlier.
They got to go home at 11 instead of 11:30 at night.
Great.
That's great. Well, we'll dig that one up too.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I'd love to see Summertime.
I think it's buried in the middle of some piece like Salute to Summer.
Right.
He's jacked up 10 minute pieces. Time to salute summer.
The one that I think I get the most feedback on, somebody must have posted it somewhere, and every once in a while it bubbles up in Twitter comments or something, is the inappropriate, you know that one, Clive?
Oh, yeah, Clive Cullen's inappropriate.
Which I just appear in very briefly, and I just, somebody says something, and I say kinky. I have one word in it, but somehow it made
but
a real impression.
But it's the way you say it.
I guess so.
Are you, you play a young, you're a father with a young son, I think?
Oh, maybe.
And
I don't know.
It's wrongheaded.
Yes, it's something that is not
kinky.
We'll dig it up. It's inappropriate for me to call
it
kinky.
And it's Brian. Yes.
Yes.
And it's Brian Stack as
Clive Clemens.
Oh, yeah.
Clive Clemens, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so many memorable bits.
So many great strolls down memory lane
with
Andy Daly.
Oh, it was so much great fun.
When are you going to be Andrew Daly when you start taking serious dramatic
roles?
Yes,
I think so. I think so.
You need a beard.
Yeah, I'll make the transition. No, sometimes I am Andrew Daly in the credits. I am very sloppy about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't decide.
You like to mix it up.
Actually, you know, Andy Blitz, when we first met, we met in the cafeteria at Ridgewood High School in 1986, and somebody asked me, I don't remember it, but he does, somebody asked me, are you Andrew or Andy? And I said, I don't give a shit. And he said that he really related to that.
Yeah.
That it's a burden to have to decide whether you're Andrew or Andy.
Right. I know. And then, like, as you get older, it's like, oh, am I?
Should I have? Did
adult,
I pick wrong? Yeah.
Am I supposed to drop the Y?
I know. There were always people who tried to make that transition after high school. And it was like, no, you don't get to remake yourself.
Yeah. I just
you
noticed people
have to
seem
be that
to
person.
People seem to enjoy saying Andy Daly.
Yeah.
And so I have kind of gone with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like a stage name.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Andrew just doesn't sound fun.
It doesn't, right?
I mean, I don't want to offend any Andrews out there. But you know what? I don't know any Andrews.
Hot takes.
Yeah, I'm willing to say that.
Yeah. But my parents call me Andrew. My wife calls me Andrew, as a matter of fact.
Oh, she does. Yes,
she does.
Oh, that's nice.
That's sweet.
Yes, I am. I feel like an Andrew, but I'd like you to call me Andy.
Okay.
your kids are like, we don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Are either of your kids performance
Both of my daughters
inclined?
Are named Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they are, as a matter of fact. Yes, they're both big hams. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our 12-year-old would love to be working professionally in show business.
Would you let her?
No. I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so.
Is that one of the best advice I ever hear is like, when you're an adult, you can decide for yourself.
Pretty much.
Yes.
That's kind of how we're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wanted to be a professional actor as a young child too.
Right.
Oh, right.
I did, yes. As mm-hmm. a very young child. I was confused. I was once misrecognized as Ricky Schroeder at our local supermarket.
And did you milk it?
No. An old man was like,
"I've free produce.
Seen you in the movies. You, this is the boy that was in The Champ." Yeah, it was really weird.
That sounds like a pedophile.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, working his game. Yeah. Yikes.
Let me take some new headshots for
you're
you.
You're a young star.
I somehow took that as a sign that I ought to be on television and in the movies. And my parents were just like, well, we don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So.
But you do know how to do it.
Theoretically, yes. But also,
but
I know why
better.
It shouldn't be done.
Yeah.
So when you work with child actors, do you kind of say, They were allowed to do this and I wasn't. Do you have bad child actor stories? Everyone does.
Oh, sure I do. Well, we did a sketch on Mad TV. This isn't quite a bad child, but it is. We did a sketch on Mad TV that was a Harry Potter parody. And so this would have been, I don't know, 2001 or two. And they had already started making Harry Potter movies. It was clear that this was going to be a lengthy franchise. And we had a little British boy in the sketch who was playing Harry Potter. And in between shots, his mom said, you know, it was down to my little boy and Daniel Radcliffe for the role.
And now
here he is on Mad TV in this one day sketch as Harry Potter. And I just thought, that's a lot. He was like eight. Oh. That's just a lot for an 8-year old boy.
Did she say that in front of him?
Yeah, sure she did.
Oh, of course.
Now, there's a lot of it was down to me and the person that got it stories. And I think they're not exactly true.
And maybe
true?
The casting
you don't want your
was just being kind.
Yes, perhaps.
And you don't want your parents telling everyone that.
So I don't know. Because I mean, for me to miss out on something that then becomes a franchise that goes a decade or whatever, I would never get over it.
No.
And so for an 8-year-old boy, tough stuff.
It's good to remind them of that every day.
Well, I'd like to look that kid up. Maybe he did.
Oh, yeah. He might have done some good stuff. Sure.
The star of the Americans.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But no, I don't want my children in show business.
No. Smart move.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Do they watch you and ever like comment or critique?
they are big fans, I have to say.
Yeah.
I did a kids show for Netflix called The Who Was Show.
Oh, right. Oh.
Brian McCann was the head writer of
yes.
that. Yes. And it was really, really funny. And so it's a good thing to be able to show my kids.
Oh, that's great.
No reservations about. They're even learning. And And my 7-year-old, very early into her meeting anybody will say, my dad was Ron on the Who Was Show. Just blurts out. Just like there's no subtlety.
And then everyone grows quiet. Oh, man. I got to chew that one over.
So I assume you probably didn't let them watch Veep.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not Veep.
Silicon Valley. Or,
mm-mm.
Yeah.
I did one episode of The Good Place, and I have some rather sexually explicit things to say in that episode. And my 12-year-old started watching the
play.
Now I'm in the third season and I'm kind of thinking as she starts in episode one, like, well, hopefully she loses interest in this show before it gets to my episode. But no, they really held her attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
It has happened already, and I just had to explain to her, like, I don't think you should watch.
I don't believe those things.
Yeah, I did a poor job. I think I was just trying to prevent her from watching that one episode, and like, I think you'll get the rest of the show if you skip that one. Like, it's not,
do you just tell her there is no heaven? It's all made up. When you die, it's nothingness. So my character doesn't really exist.
But we were watching it together actually, and I just said, well, look, I can't watch this episode with you. That's all. call. Uh-huh. That's when it came. And she has ever since.
It was very brave of you. You really did grab the bull by the horns.
I didn't know what else to do.
I'll be in the other
room. Yeah, pretty much. And, yeah. She has made fun of me consistently since then for being that embarrassed about it. And
That's funny.
Yeah, she didn't think it was such a big deal. I guess.
I hear this all the time.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, man, you're reminding me. I used to play Abe Lincoln on Late
Night.
Yeah. All the time.
There was some insane time travel beat where I time traveled and then I came back out and there was an ape from Planet of the Apes. And it was a classic thing, like there was no ending. So we ended up having to, I made out with.
Yeah, yeah.
It was Ape Lincoln.
You either
ape
had to.
Ape Lincoln.
Ape Lincoln
shoot
and Abe Lincoln.
Or you had to make out.
Made out, right.
Yeah.
And then I think they were running our show on Comedy Central and they were promoting it a lot. And that, for some reason, one of the clips was me making out.
Oh, God.
With Ape Lincoln. And my kids are like, you know, 5 and 7. They're like, hey, Daddy, we saw you kissing Abe Lincoln. I'm like, I don't think that will mess them up in any way. It's another species.
What do you think now?
That's a good point. They can only dress as presidents when they're having sex with animals. So it didn't turn out well.
Yeah, that is a problem. Yeah.
And we got to work with you for a Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah. That
was so much fun.
I loved that.
Talk about
I'm
still doing bits party. On Conan. Some people are here talking about their past of doing bits on Conan.
Yeah.
That's true.
I will
true.
Come and do any damn thing. Put my head in a toilet today. I will do it.
I really hope you wouldn't.
No, I will, goddammit.
Grab a microphone. Let's go.
Yeah, no, we're always excited when we come up with something that we can pitch for you.
Yes.
I enjoy it. That Reed Newport game show host character.
Yeah.
I would
really
do that every damn day.
You play a game show host who's
from
like
the 80s.
Yeah, uh-huh. who's got like? Did he get?
He had a game?
Locked up in a.
Yeah, he's.
Wanders a lot.
Yeah,
right?
He wanders a lot, and he's covered in dust.
Yes.
Right, your show was canceled like 2 decades ago.
But,
right.
Yeah, but you're in denial.
Yes.
You have some.
He just wanders
PTSD
around the
thing.
And you have a microphone all the time, and you're like, let's look at the board.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have no sense of what the game show actually was.
No, it's just a hodgepodge of different game show style phrases.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. And then, the Comic-Con thing was super fun. That was Conan as the red woman.
Melisandre.
Yes.
Yes, Melisandre.
And that was another example of you elevating the writing, because I think we...
Writing.
We had written sort of
like,
scripted.
No, it was really funny. You and Conan just ad-lib walking down a hall.
It was a long walk down the hallway, yes.
You went like 100 yards down. And,
yeah.
Okay, now, same thing coming back the other way. All right, we're done.
Idiot bellhop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you kept ringing the doorbell to offer him other things. And one of my favorite, the way that you say the word Toblerone.
Toblerone.
And you kind of stick your tongue in your cheek. There's, it's
Toblerone.
I know from editing it that I watched it so many times.
Yes. It is fantastic. And then you two in the hallway, like normally we'd only use like, I don't know, maybe 20 seconds of something like that. And you two are so great. We're just like, just let
this
it go and
funny.
Go.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Very funny.
Yeah, and that makeup job was unbelievable. Turned
Conan
into the
There was no makeup.
Old head.
Oh, no.
It was very weird to be hanging around with Conan in between shots in that makeup.
The just, old way, where he looked like an 800-year-old woman.
Yes, and specifically an 800-year-old naked
sagging
woman.
Sagging breasts.
That's true.
Yes, and it was, it made no sense for him to like cover up the nakedness of this latex suit.
No.
Yeah.
Really, except it kind of would have been nice.
The only thing they didn't have to touch were his genitals.
Yeah.
It became camera ready.
Just flat.
I shouldn't know that.
So, what's next for Andy Daly?
Oh man, what's next? I made up a list recently of all the various lines I have in the water or irons, and there were 11 things on it, which really kind of bummed me out. That feels like too many things.
It's too much. You got to cut things back.
Yeah, podcasts and TV shows and things, you know, just things in various I'm trying to put it out there.
Do you have?
Two that I can talk about. Some of them are with the State Department.
Yeah.
A bunch of them are with the CIA.
I would love
classified podcast.
Classified podcast.
Redacted. It's all redacted. Podcast. Yeah. Yeah.
I do have a new podcast coming out called The Great American Cabinet of Curiosities that that'll be coming to Stitcher with Sean Conroy and I host people who are submitting their items, their household items for inclusion in a Great American Cabinet of Curiosities.
Oh. So,
you know, the premise gets explained at the top of the show.
Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. It just did.
Yeah, I guess.
And it's real people coming in with real stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
right.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh.
Well, I mean, comedians, funny people, and then telling stories about the weird things that they hung on to all these years. Yes.
Okay, but telling real stories.
Telling real stories.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
It's hard. I get confused sometimes.
I'm very confused.
You
play a lot of characters.
Well, I play a character.
I assume this is a character you're playing right now.
Right now, for sure. Oh, my God.
So meta. Nobody. You don't have two girls.
Why would I?
So implausible. We played along.
And then there's another top secret podcast in the works at Earwolf that I think people are going to be very excited about.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I can't wait. I don't know where you'll see me next. Who knows where I'm going to
Maybe on Conan.
Maybe on Conan. Yes.
We might bring back Summertime. What was it?
Summertime Steve.
Ice Tea. 2020.
Summertime Steve. Yeah.
I'm ready. Anytime. I'm limbered up.
Ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, Andy,
this was great.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I enjoyed myself.
Thank you.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear the secret podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And we really appreciate you're so busy to
I know.
Make carve time out for us.
It's yeah. Great. Not that busy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about you. I mean, that's
what a thrill.
Hard to get performers to do.
No kidding.
Yep.
Hope it was therapeutic.
Yes, I got a lot of things off my chest.
Good.
I really wrestled with that toilet business. Yeah. And, I haven't been able to put my head in the toilet since then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've come a long way.
I think you would, there are things you would say no to now.
I can't think of anything offhand that I ever have said no to. But you may be right.
We'll start pitching stuff.
Yeah, I'd like to test this.
Yeah. Let's see what Summer Steve is willing to do.
Although there were times on Review where it was like, well, you're really doing this, huh?
Yeah.
I would. I did. Yeah. I made mistakes.
Review is, that would be, there's some extreme.
There's some very extreme things that happened on Review. I'll tell you one quick thing, though. Where there was one thing where I was, what's it like to be buried alive?
Mm-hmm.
And the way that we ended the bit was to have me having to claw my way out of a grave because the people who buried me forgot where they buried me. It was kind of and so the way we shot it was that they put a pine box we went to an actual cemetery late at night and put a box at a phony grave in a graveyard, dug fairly deep into the ground and covered it with a layer of dirt.
Ooh.
And the top of the box was scored so that I could punch through it and dig through this dirt. But for a while there, I was lying late at night in the complete
coffin.
Nothing has ever been as dark as this.
Like in a real cemetery.
In a real cemetery, in a real pine box under actual earth.
Wow. What cemetery allowed you to do this?
Hollywood
cemetery. It sounds like cemetery negligence.
Yes, it does. But you know what? It was so peaceful.
Yeah.
I actually kind of was like,
I'm looking forward to this. Yeah.
I could do this. This is not so bad.
That is a good message to get out to everybody.
Yes.
The other side
is afraid.
Cool.
Yeah. You can just relax.
Yes, I have never experienced that degree of darkness before.
Yeah, it's real sensory deprivation.
Yes, it was fascinating.
How many takes? I'm guessing that was one.
No, we somehow, I think, did do two takes.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why.
You enjoyed being
just
in the
house. Yeah, I was like, I'd be up for doing it again.
Yeah.
I'm going to sleep here every night. Best sleep of your life.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
So. How many Review, of course, was a great show on Comedy Central.
Oh, thank you. That's one of the things on my list of 11 lines in the fire is the complete series DVD of Review is in the works. We have recorded the commentary tracks. Andy Blitz was there for that. And
the lines
went from
the water
into
a fire now.
The lines are, yes.
Worried about how you're
fishing. I had lines in the water.
Yeah.
Sure.
The airlines are in the fire.
You're just cooking the fish.
Yeah, the irons are in the water, and that's a problem, too. I don't know how I'm going to get them out.
They're
going to
rest.
Sorry. They're definitely going to rest. Would you ask?
Oh, no. Is that on streaming anywhere?
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon and iTunes if you've got the money.
You got the bucks. Yeah.
But you do that, and then also buy the DVD when it comes out at some unknown time.
Okay.
It's been rather difficult to find the raw footage from which to cut deleted scenes.
Oh.
And then buy the DVD player.
Yes, you have to buy a DVD player. Yes, I beg you to just hold on to that DVD player in the garage for
and an old entertainment center, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Andy.
Yeah.
Bye. That was Andy Daly saving our asses once again.
Andy was fantastic. It was great to have him here.
So that's our show. And maybe we'll see you in San Diego. Maybe we'll see you in Montreal.
Right.
Maybe we'll never see you ever in our whole lives.
Maybe I'll see you at the Gelson's supermarket here in LA.
Yeah, please say hi.
Please say hi.
Sweeney has a beard now.
I do have a beard.
You might not recognize him.
Yeah. You might not recognize me without a beard. I love being anonymous. That is my preferred mode.
Yeah, me too.
All right.
Yeah, so... thanks for listening.
Thank you.
We like you. Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast, is hosted by Mike Sweeney and me, Jesse Gaskell.
Produced by Kevin Bartelt.
Engineered by Will Becton.
Mixed by Ryan Connor.
Supervising producer is Aaron Blaird.
Associate producer, Jen Samples. Executive produced by Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross. Jeff Ross at Team Coco. And Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon at Earwolf.
Thanks to Jimmy Vivino for our theme music and interstitials.
You can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
And of course, please subscribe and tell a friend to listen to Inside Conan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or whatever platform you like best.
Ta-da!
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.